So Arjuna, even though born a warrior, wanted to go to the forest and meditate because he said war is intrinsically evil and there will be a lot of problems. And the teacher tells him that's true, war is wrong, but in certain circumstances, when you're faced with evil, you have to do your duty. And even though meditating is superior to action, even in earlier Arjuna asks Krishna, he says, if you say sannyas is superior to karma, so renunciation is superior to action, so a person who is working in the world or a person who is in the forest meditating, the action of the meditator is superior to the action of the worker. That is true. But to be able to give up the world and go to meditate, you have to have certain mental maturity. If you're busy working and your desire is to make more money and achieve more success, and then suddenly one day something happens, your friend dies or something, and you say, life is not worth living, let me go into the forest and meditate. That won't work, because most of us are here born with those kind of vasanas where work is necessary. But as our maturity occurs, emotional, spiritual, then you can take the path of sannyas or meditation. That's why we say even while you are working, spend some time every morning in meditation, spend some time in quiet silence, so that gradually you train your mind to live in that silence, and then ultimately spend more and more time. So that is what the teacher is telling him, that whatever job you are doing, do it with the best of your ability. That's what we had studied last week. And he continues that. Also, he says every activity should be dedicated to the Lord. So that's what we had studied last week. So let us continue now, because the student wants to know, why should I do this, my duty, even though this duty is not, to me, not superior. It seems to be inferior. So this three or four verses are the summary of the entire third chapter of the Karma Yoga. Why, how, what is Karma Yoga? Do your duty, dedicated to the Lord, do it unselfishly. So Krishna is just summarizing what he has already taught in the third chapter. So today we'll do verse number 47. Shreyan Swadharmo Vigunaha. Paradharmat Svanushthitat Swabhavaniyatam Karma Kurvannapnoti Kilbisham Shreya, Shreya, Shreyat. So what is, he says, is what is Shreya? Now Shreyas is a very beautiful Sanskrit word, because in the second chapter, in seventh verse, Arjuna asks, what is Shreyas for me? Bruhi tanme nishchitam. Tell me clearly what is my duty, what is right for thing for me to do. Now Shreyas, in the Kathopanishad, it has been explained in more detail that there are two paths, Shreyas and Prayas. Prayas is the path of pleasure, where I do what I feel like doing, what I enjoy doing. Shreyas is I do what is not only good for me, but also good for society. See, some people might say, oh, I'm doing what is good for me. That's not enough. Yeah, you may do what is good for you, become very successful, very rich, very powerful. But are you benefiting society with your actions? Then your actions become Shreyas. Otherwise, it is Prayas. I did for myself, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But as I am progressing, I have to help others to rise with me. So when he says Shreyas, means what is better for you and for society is Swadharma Vigunaha. Even though your own dharma, what is dharma? It is your duty. I will explain in more deep detail what is dharma. Dharma here can be translated as duty. Whatever your duty is, Vigunaha, even though it may not be as superior, maybe inferior, Paradharmat Svanushtitat, but somebody else's duty is superior. Your duty, you think it is inferior. you know, doing a job as a gardener or a plumber or a businessman, it's not as good as, you know, if I could be a leader of the country, or if I could meditate, if I could be a teacher, a swami. Wow, his job is so much better. So you may be thinking that your job is somehow inferior to another job. That's in your mind. Actually, there is nothing inferior or superior. We'll talk about that. But a person who thinks that my job is inferior and another one's is superior, so I should do somebody else's job and not my job, not for which I am suited. But that is wrong. Swabhava niyatam karvan. If you do your duty according to your nature, according to what you are suited for, swabhava niyatam karma kurvan na apnoti kilbisham. Na apnoti, such a person doing does not obtain sin, does not reach sin. Now, what is sin? We'll talk about that a little more. So let us see what is my duty. What am I supposed to do on this earth? Why am I here? So here Krishna uses a word dharma. A dharma actually has so many meanings that somebody who was writing a detailed Sanskrit dictionary took all the meanings of dharma. It filled 5 pages of 3 columns. 5, and then after that he wrote etc., etc., etc. Dharma has so many meanings that it cannot be explained in one word or explained in one sentence or even in one lecture. But dharma has many meanings. Dharma, it can be translated as your religion, you know, Hindu dharma or Islam dharma or Christian dharma. So that is my religion. Dharma also can be translated as duty. What is my dharma? What is my duty in this? Or dharma also can be translated as the various stations in life, like, you know, brahmacharya dharma, grahastha dharma. So what is the duty of a student is to study. What is the duty of a householder to take care of his family? What is the duty of a retired person? What is the duty of a sannyasi? So there are many meanings, but here Swami Chinmayananda in his commentary says that dharma, when they use, it is what is the essential nature. So to give an example, what is the essential nature? Like sugar. Now sugar has, there are different kinds of sugar, right? There is white sugar, there is brown sugar, there is sugar which is powdered, sugar which is granules, sugar which comes in big chunks, you know, big pieces, which is colorless, colored, different things, you know. So there are different forms of sugar. But what is common to all is sweetness. If it is not sweet, you will not call it sugar. Now in India, we get this alum, this patkadi, you know, that people use for shaving. They used to, I remember my grandfather used to use it after shaving. It's an antiseptic. It looks exactly like sugar. It's a crystal. And looks like a big chunk of sugar. But if you bite into it, it's so bitter. Ah, you feel like throwing it away instantly. So what is the essential property of sugar and what is the non-essential property? The shape, size, and color is non-essential, right? Sugar can be different shapes, different sizes, different colors. But what is the essential property of sugar is sweetness. If it is not sweet, you will not call it sugar. You know, so that is the essential quality. Like what is the quality of a flower? You know, fragrance. Sometimes you go to somebody's house, there are artificial flowers which look better than the real. You know, the rose looks so perfect. But when you go close, you don't smell it. So you say, it can't be a flower. It doesn't have the fragrance. It doesn't have the... So the fragrance is the essential nature of a flower. Swamiji tells a story. He just jokingly says, I went to somebody's house. And there, they had invited me for diksha, for lunch. And so it so happened that the husband was late coming from work and the wife was busy cooking in the kitchen. So she said, Swamiji, please sit for 5 minutes. I'll be done and my husband will be coming. She said, I was sitting alone in the living room and didn't have anything. It was getting bored. I looked around and on the table, there was this bowl of fruit, beautiful fruits, you know, apples, pears, grapes and all. And you know, one grape had fallen off from the bunch, and I said, you know, I'm getting bored, plus I'm hungry, so why don't I take a grape and eat it? So he said, I took the grape and put it in my mouth. Ah, it was wax. You know, immediately I wanted to throw it. And of course, he's joking. I'm sure he didn't do that. I wanted to throw it. What? I just quickly put it in my pocket so the hostess shouldn't see that. So the problem is that it, whatever looks like grape may not be grape unless it has its sweetness, unless it has that texture. So the sweetness is the essential nature of grape. Shape and size is not. So what is our essential nature, which is common to all of us? You know, we are all of different color, different size, different shape, different sex, different nationality, different language, different, you know, way of dressing, different food. There's so much variety in humans, and then there are animals, all different kinds of dogs and different kinds of birds and different kinds of fish and plants and fruits and all, so much variety on this earth. But what is the essential nature that is common to all of us? What is common between me and a cat and a bird and a fish and a plant is Om, the consciousness, the life principle, because of which I am alive, because of which I am speaking, because of which you are listening. And that is the same factor that is there everywhere. That is the oneness. That is what Vedanta teaches us. There is one consciousness which is pervading everything, and which is the essential nature of every living being. Without that, if that essential nature, my consciousness, is not functioning through me, then I will be a piece of flesh, and they will have to carry me to the crematorium or burial ground or cremation ground. In fact, Shankaracharya ji very beautifully in Bhaj Govindam, he says, Yavat pavano nivasati dehe, tavati prichati kushalam gehe, gatvati vayo deha paye, bharya vibhyati tasmin kaye. He says, as long as the breath is going through you, everybody will come and say, hi, how are you, will talk to you. The day the breath leaves, what happens? Even your wife, who says, oh, darling, I love you so much, she says, get him out. The body is smelling, it's rotting, taking to the crematorium. So it's the essential essence which decides who we are. This body is a piece of equipment that I am using. And that's why do not give too much importance to the body. Give more importance to your spiritual nature. We spend so much time in the body, physical health, emotionally, I love this person, I don't love this person, success, failure, achievement. Those are all necessary, but the essential nature is the spirit. So that is the essential nature. But here, Krishna uses another word, swabhavaha. Now, what is swabhava? I actually didn't write it, but swabhava means what is my vasanas that I was born with? What is my essential nature? What am I really? Like Nixon, his nature was, he was president, but his essential nature of suspicion didn't go away. And that's why he did things that were wrong. He had to leave presidency. We find so many world leaders, even though they are leaders, they should be leading the country. But their nature is, they are basically crooked, they are corrupt. So their whole goal is to make money. Recently, Venezuela's prime minister, her two nephews were jailed for, you know, for corruption. They made millions. And it happens in all countries of the world, in India, in everywhere. So even though my swabhava is to be a leader, but I don't. Why? Because my nature, the wrong thing takes over. So one is that you should, first of all, be work for the post you are selected. If you are president of the country, you should see what is good for the country. If you are assemblyman in California, you should not be thinking about what's good for Bakersfield or LA or whatever, but what is good for the state of California. So if you are working in a company, what is good for the company, not what is good for me. So when you do your duty according to your swabhava, according to your essential nature, then you exhaust your vasanas, because the whole goal of spirituality is to exhaust or reduce our vasanas, our selfish tendencies. If you do your duty honestly, sincerely, to the best of your ability, without ego, without selfishness, dedicated to the Lord, then you exhaust your vasanas. You make them less. But if you do your duty selfishly, just for me and I, then you are strengthening your vasanas. The other thing in this case, we talked about Kshatriya and Brahmana. Arjuna had a lot of Kshatriya vasanas. He was a warrior. And so he had to fight the battle because he was trained to fight. But he has not yet exhausted those vasanas. How do you exhaust the warrior vasanas? By fighting in a good cause. See, he has been trained to be a warrior. Either he can fight selfishly or he can fight for the country because the country is faced with a major crisis. So when he does his duty correctly, he will be exhausting those vasanas and make his mind more pure. But what he's trying to do is become a Brahmana. He wants to now become a monk. He wants to meditate. He has not yet exhausted his Kshatriya vasanas. They are still there, his desires to be a warrior. On top of that, now he has a desire to be a monk. Now, desire to be a monk is good, but he's not ready yet. He's still not ready, just as you and I, suppose tomorrow we leave these clothes and put on orange clothes and start wandering in the forest. If we are not mentally ready, then all you will do is put on the clothes, but inside the individual does not change. But if somebody has that much emotional maturity, like Swami Ishwarananda or Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda or whoever, where from childhood or from a young age, they had this desire, I want to give up the world and become a monk. And they became great. They achieved so much. Look at Buddha, look at Jesus. So these people, they devoted their life to service. So if you have that emotional maturity, you do it. If not, do whatever you're doing, do it to the best of your ability. Then I thought I'll bring up this thing about husband and wife, you know, because there's always a dispute. What is husband's duties and wife duties? And that is the biggest source of conflict in every house. It's not. So there's this story. So this husband had lost his job. So he was, you know, home and the wife was working, you know, wife was maintaining the house and he couldn't find a job. So he was sitting at home one day. So wife comes from work around 5 o'clock in the evening. She comes in through the garage door and husband is on the living room with his feet up on the table with a beer here and watching TV. So she says, what's on TV? So he says, dust. See, the duties have changed now. Yes, you know, it's a woman's house to maintain the job, to maintain the house. But the situation has changed. The karmas have changed. Based on the karmas, now he's sitting home. So it is his job to maintain the house and she's earning. There's another joke. There was these two middle-aged men sitting again in the patio, you know, out on the table, you know, with a recliner with the feet up on the table. And each one has the beer and they're talking. And one guy says to another, he says, they say a woman's work is never done. So other guy says, yeah, maybe they should wake up earlier in the morning. Not that we should go help. So, based on your karmas, the work has to be divided. It's not only that, you know, one person is supposed to. So, of course, the wives here now will go home and, you know, it'll create a lot of fights, but that's not my problem. So the problem is that in life, we are all to work together for the benefit of society, for the benefit of the family. To say that this is only my work and I won't do anything else. Whatever we can work together to make this world a better place is the requirement of us. And so see what is, first of all, of course, what is your nature? What are you good at? Do that. Do it to the best of your ability and do what you can to make this world a better place. The problem is that other people's job always looks better. You know, other person's job always looks better. Engineer thinks, I wish I had become a doctor. Look, you know, he has this big house and he's driving this car and he's his own boss. He has his own practice. And the doctor says, you know, what a stupid mistake. I should have become an engineer. Engineer goes to work at 9, comes home at 5. at least his cell phone doesn't ring. You know, my patients call me all night, and when I'm on call, the hospital calls, and then I got just sued with malpractice, and then my, you know, premiums are going up, and my staff is giving. So each person, to him, that person's job looks better. Another, like when you go to a restaurant, you know, when you order the dish, and then you see the other guy, "I should have ordered that one. You know, that one looks better." But the point is that other person's thing always looks better, you know. So what they are saying is that wherever you are, do your job well. Whatever job you have been assigned, because God has not made a mistake. God never makes any mistakes. You say, "By mistake, he put me." No. Wherever you have been placed is the place where you belong. That is the place where you can exhaust your vasanas, where you can do the maximum good. And so wherever you are, it does not mean that you shouldn't improve or get better, but do what you are trained to do. Do what is your tendency. But what people do is sometimes for the sake of money or for the sake of position or for the sake of power, they take on somebody else's job. And especially we find parents, you know, who are high achieving will drive their children, "You know, you need to take up this profession," even though the child, and then what happens? He becomes unhappy. He becomes miserable. When he's old, he says, "You know what? I should have done that." Like the example, there were some examples, like, you know, there is a poet, right? He wanted to be a poet, but his father didn't let him. He said, "Poets, they don't make any money. You know, I have an insurance agency. You join my company." So he graduates, becomes an insurance agent. But he's miserable. So even when he's selling policy, he's composing poetry. He says, "Sign on page 8 and your policy will be great." You know, love. Why? Because he had the desire to be a poet and his father didn't let him. You know, he always wanted, but he has never learned. Or somebody wanted to be a musician. Again, you know, parents said, "You know, you need to become an engineer." Father says, "I have an engineering company. You'll get a good job." So he becomes very successful. But every time he starts singing, he's in the bus, he's singing, in the train, he's singing. And the people say, "Shut up." Why? Because he was not a trained musician. He wanted to be. And so he doesn't sound good, but he's had this strong desire to be trained in music. Couldn't do it. And so he's miserable. Maybe he takes a gun and shoots himself, even though he's so rich, he's so successful. And we find people are unhappily stuck, and suddenly after age 50 or 60, "I shouldn't have done that." Like there's so many stories, especially in India, about there was this guy who wanted to be a doctor, but somehow didn't get admission into the medical school and too many years of study. So he went into commerce, went into business, and became a multimillionaire, so rich and so successful, but wanted to be a doctor. You know, "I wanted to serve the country." So now he's retired, right? He has millions in the bank, he's big house. So what does he do? Especially in India, that's very common. You know, they pick up this homeopathy book. You know, buy this homeopathy book, and he reads this book. Okay, one or two books, he calls himself doctor. And it's very common. I had a distant uncle who did that. He retired from the army and then read a couple of homeopathy books and put a sign, doctor, you know, and people used to come to him. You know, it's so funny over there. So this guy becomes a doctor, and then he goes to people's homes. People don't come to him, right? Because they don't think he's a doctor. He's retired, so he goes to people. "How are you? You know, your eyes look pale. Your hemoglobin is low. Here's some pills." You know, he'll read in the book, hemoglobin. And so what is happening? Why is he doing that? You know, he doesn't need to. Why is he insulting himself and doing this kind of job? Because he had this strong desire. So what Krishna is saying is that whatever your inclination is, whatever your desire is, that's why we need to even study our children carefully and see what is it they are good at. But the point is that whatever your job is, do it to the best of your ability. Decide what makes you happy and pick that. And then wherever you have been placed, do your best, be successful, and make this world a better place. That is the ultimate goal of human birth, is to help others to evolve, to make this world a better place. Like the example, like if a mother goes into a room and the room is full of toys everywhere, books everywhere, you know, which is, of course, all mothers agree that is what happens. Kids have thrown toys, and what do? You pick up toys. You don't say, why, the kids have left it dirty, I'm going to leave it dirty. Serves them right. No, a mother will pick up the toys, will pick up the clothes, hang them up. Kids have hurriedly gone to school, didn't have time to, you know, clean up and all. Of course, they'll try to teach the child, but after time, children don't listen. So the good mother will leave the room clean. She'll put everything away and leave the room nice, because that is her, out of love for her family, for her children. It's not that she's doing anybody any favor, but that is my duty as a mother. I'm responsible for, and of course, along with the way you teach your children to be better and all that. So similarly, you and I have come into this world, and there is a lot of dirt, a lot of things that need to be done. And it, just as there are clothes and toys everywhere, there is so many problems in this world. There are people who are hungry, people, there is so many fighting going on, so many conflicts, so much, you know, terrorism, so much fanaticism. And there are conflicts. And, you know, I cannot go and solve the Arab-Israeli war. I cannot solve those. I cannot solve Iran and Iraq conflict. What can I do to make this world a little cleaner place, so that when I leave this world, they should say that he left the world a better place than when he came? And when we look at the life of Buddha or Jesus or Shankaracharya or Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda, you can say that. That they came, they left the place cleaner, and they left a legacy behind of service, of sharing, of giving. And so each and one of us has to decide in our heart that I am here for a limited amount of time. No one is going to live forever. So how can I do whatever in my limited ability? You know, we cannot be Buddha, we cannot be Jesus, I cannot be Shankaracharya. But wherever I am, whatever station I have been placed, whatever job I am doing, let me do it honestly, let me do it sincerely, let me serve the world, let me make people happier, let me clean up my environment, let me make my, you know, suppose I live in a neighborhood, maybe I just take the job of keeping it clean, you know, this neighborhood cleanliness projects, planting trees, joining some service organization, doing some charity, doing, you know, helping others. So let me leave this room that I have, this Bakersfield, this place I am, let me leave it a little cleaner than when I first came here. Let me leave this world a little better. So that should be the goal of every human's life, that how can I make this world a better place? Just as a mother cleans the house, let me clean this world in whatever ability I can, whatever my training is, whatever my capability is. So that is the essence of this verse, that do your duty, do it to the best of your ability, do it unselfishly, dedicated to the Lord. Lord, it is because of you that I am working. Do it without ego. And that is the way to exhaust your vasanas. We all have a lot of vasanas because of which we took birth. Each one of us here is here because we had unfulfilled vasanas. And if you do not exhaust these vasanas in doing service, in doing good, then what you will do is accumulate more vasanas and continue the life's journey. In next life, you may not even be born as a human. Maybe you're born as a mosquito or a monkey or a dog. Or, we don't know what our future is going to hold for us. So this human birth I have, let me take advantage and let me make this world a better place. This is the essence of this verse. And that is how to live one's life. That's what Krishna is telling us. That's what Gurudev says in the commentary that you all have. Any questions, any comments?
Throughout history, I mean, there have been some of these kind of people who it's like everything they did was good.
Yes.
I mean, they wrote music, beautiful music. They were a doctor, a fabulous doctor.
Right.
They went into business. They were very successful. They had several practices all over the world, maybe hospitals.
Right.
And then there's other people who it's like, no matter what they go into, I mean, if they're a nurse, they drop the skeleton or something. It's like you do everything wrong.
Right.
And it's not exactly attitude. It's like
I think a lot of it is due to past karma. See, wherever we are is due to my past karmas. Whatever I am today is because of my karmas in this life. Like, obviously, somebody who studies well, you know, and another person who doesn't study, who's going to get into, you know, engineering or law or, say, Harvard or Yale? One who studies. One who doesn't study will not. So a person is in a particular place because of their past actions. But the reason she's not a good nurse, because maybe she's not fit to be a nurse. You know, maybe she is in the wrong profession. Maybe she should be in teaching, or maybe she's good at art, or maybe she's good in music, or maybe she's, you know, gardening. So a person not knowing what they are good at, maybe her older sister was a nurse, so she automatically became a nurse. So that's why they say that the person should be guided by their parents or by themselves to see what they are good at and take up that profession. Otherwise, you will be miserable, you will be unhappy, you won't do a good job. So doing the good is based on what your swabhava is, what is your true nature. And maybe she's in the wrong profession, and that she does never chose, she was never selected, you know, never decided what is good, I think. True. But yeah, that's true. That's when the role of parents comes in. See, because for a child, everybody wants to be an astronaut. See, they say, I want to be an astronaut, I want to be a pilot, but he may not be trained to be that. So you have to see the child's inclination and then see the child's abilities, you know, everything. Because if the child is not very intelligent and then you're pushing him, you know, you have to get, you know, perfect score on SAT. And if you don't, I'm disappointed, then you are putting unrealistic expectations on the child. And similarly for us, but it's actually not that easy to change careers. I agree. Once you are, you know, 40, 45, you have family, you can't risk. But people do that, you know, especially in this country, people at age 45 will quit and go to law school. You know, I know so many doctors who quit and then went to law school, or you know, somebody, engineer, quits engineering, quits a very six-figure salary and, you know, wants to go to medical school. And people do that. And in medical schools, you see kids who are 50, 55, not kids, but adults who are 50 or 55 years old. So people do that. Why? Because I always wanted to be, but I could not be. But yes, like you said, sometimes you don't know till it's too late. And so that's why the sooner you find out, the better it is. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukha Bhavave. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Guru Dhyo Namaha Hari Om.